So in our scripture reading today, let's get to our continuance of the book of Philippians. I want to encourage you this morning, if you have your Bible, and I hope you do, and if not, I hope someone next to you has theirs that you can look on with, open your Bible this morning to Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. And in our scripture reading today, what we see is Paul encourages the Philippians to work out their salvation with fear and trembling, as well as how they should live in this world, and to also shine as lights in this world. So how to live and how to shine as lights in the world. And I wonder this morning, how many of you here have ever gone on a journey to improve yourself? Am I the only one? Did I write this sermon for myself today? Have you ever gone on a journey to improve yourself, to improve something, or to potentially change a situation? How many of us now capture? Okay, praise the Lord. It's not just me. Here's what I know. If you've gone through this, it requires intentionality, right? It requires focus, and it requires a determination. What does this mean? It means that we have gone on with a purpose. We have set out with a purpose in mind. For example, take me. Last year, I went on a weight loss journey. I lost 50 pounds. I felt great, looked great, liked the changes I saw and experienced. But guess what? I lost my focus. Has it ever happened to you? Happened to me once, right? I lost my focus. I lost my discipline. And I lost the intensity of which I was pursuing my goal of losing weight. Now, if we're being honest, I have put on some of that weight, little over half of what I lost. I'm not happy with it. Have you ever been happy when you've walked away from what you set out to do? No, you haven't. So I'm not happy with it. And I intend to refocus and to get back to the level of discipline and intensity that I had last year pursuing what I am after. And in our scripture today, Paul encourages the Philippians to not lose their focus, to not lose their discipline, and to continue on intensely in their relationship with the Lord. He tells them to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That sounds pretty intense, doesn't it? Let's get to our Bible reading this morning. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That sounds like you wrote it for today, right? A crooked and twisted generation. Well, that just tells you that they were twisted and crooked back then as well, right? Among whom you shine as lights in the world. Verse 16, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be poured out, that I did not run in vain, that I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. The beginning of this text, when Paul is writing this, text is often misused. And it is often misused because it's designed, in the sense, if we take it out of context, to instill fear into people. To warn them that it means what working out your salvation with fear and trembling, they imply that it means that you can lose your salvation by not doing works. What does it mean to work out our salvation with fear and trembling? See, because Paul can hardly be encouraging believers to live in a continuous condition of nervousness and anxiety. Does that not put a lot of nervousness and anxiety on you to think that if you don't work hard enough, you're going to lose your salvation? I don't think God ever created it that way, did he? So this verse does not imply that. And in fact, it would contradict Paul's many other exhortations to peace of mind, to having courage, and to have confidence in the God who authors our salvation. Not by the works for your salvation, but God who authors our salvation. This verse does not imply to gain salvation through works, rather to work out your salvation. Here's what it is. You ready? It is an expression of our salvation through ongoing spiritual growth and development. So salvation is not a one-time gift given once and for all. It is lived out and fulfilled through a continual process of constant surrender to Christ and to following His purposes. Can we all agree today that that takes a lot of determination? That takes a lot of intensity, and it takes purpose for us to remain steadfast and to continue to mature spiritually. If I want to become a rocket scientist, do I not have to understand physics? But if I never took a class on physics, I likely don't have a good start, do I? Right? So we have to work. Dave's smiling. I could never drive truck like Dave either, by the way. That takes a lot of intensity. I've talked to him on the phone, and I hear him, don't do that, to other cars as they're passing him and slamming on the brakes and everything else. One of these days, I'm just praying that something doesn't happen while he's talking to me on the phone, but listen, it takes purpose to set out to do the things. And so if we are to do this, we work out our salvation by a continual surrendering to Christ. Surrendering our life to Christ. Surrendering our will to Christ. Surrendering our purpose to Christ. My purpose doesn't matter if it's not in line with what Christ's purpose is for my life. Because then I'm doing what I want to do, not what He has set me out to do. Okay? In fact, if we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, write this down. I'll have it on the overhead, but you can go read it later. Peter speaks to this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. It says this, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love." Does that not look like a progression? Right? "For if these qualities," verse 8, "for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." If these are growing, you will be effective. If they are not growing, guess what? What's the opposite of effective? Ineffective, right? So we have to surrender every moment of every day to Jesus in our life. Salvation also is not worked out by mere effort on our part. It is up to me what kind of food and how much I put into my body. Right? That is a me choice. That is a me thing. Our salvation is not a me thing. My salvation, our salvation, needs to rely on the same thing that first brought us to salvation. And what is that? God's grace and the Spirit's power given to us. God gave us His grace. We did not earn our salvation. It was given to us. So what does it mean to work out our salvation? Because that certainly could be heard as, I have to work, I have to be busy about it. Here's what working out our salvation means in context and what Paul is encouraging the Philippians to do. Remember, this is a joyful letter. This is a letter written while he is in prison, praising the Philippians for their partnership in the gospel and to how to go forward and continue to be a people that are about the gospel. This is an encouraging letter. This is a joyful letter. This is not condemnation. This is not to belittle them. This is not to put chains of religion on them. This is to empower them to go forward more. Okay? So to work out our salvation in this context means we must resist temptation and sin and follow the desires of the Holy Spirit within us. We must resist temptation and sin. While doing this, focusing on growing closer to Christ. Every day we work out our salvation. We draw closer to Christ. And as we do this, do you know what happens? We take on the very nature, the character, and the desires of Christ Jesus, as well as His power to fulfill God's purposes in our lives. So if our prayer is constantly, God, use me, God, use me, God, use me, and then you come and you say, I've been praying for 2 months for God to use me, and He hasn't used me, what has He called you to do? Go back to that. What did He call you to do 6 months ago that you didn't do? Go back to that. When was the last time that you opened up your Bible and said, Lord, speak to me? If we want to draw closer to the Lord, we've all heard that the Lord and the Holy Spirit, have we not heard He's a gentleman, right? He's never going to force Himself, right? I can come knock on your door, but if you don't open the door, I'm not coming in. If I come in, I am an unwelcome guest and you're calling 911, right? If you open the door and invite me in, I am now a welcomed guest. Same thing of the Lord. What is the purpose He has set forth for you? So we work out our salvation. And if you look at the end of verse 12, right after, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. When read by itself, sounds like an ultimatum. It sounds like it could be a warning. But we must remember, and I've already said this, but we must remember that this letter that Paul wrote is joyful, and it's to encourage, not to scold, not to scare, and not to put some false religion, religious chain on them. What is fear and trembling? What does fear and trembling mean? Fear and trembling does not refer to an attitude of fright, doubt, or anxiety. Because those would be negative things, wouldn't they? If work out your salvation is a good thing, but then we put a bad thing on the end, fear and trembling, those kind of cancel each other out. But instead, fear and trembling, it refers to a serious reverence and a vigorous pursuit of God's purposes. Yet, the fear of the Lord is much more than just reverent awe and trust, as it is often defined. If you've been in the church for any amount of time, you've heard it described as a reverent awe. And it's so much more than that. It must also include not only the reverent awe, but the deep awe and a sober awareness of God's power, His holiness, and His judgment against sin. So not only do we have a reverent awe and trust, it has to be a sober awareness of God's character and who He is. If we read our Bible reading this morning, and if you haven't, you'll read it this afternoon, hopefully. When Josiah sent a group of individuals to go intercede on his behalf, the prophetess, Huldah, H-U-L-D-A-H, Huldah, I believe is how it's pronounced, she gave a pretty absolute destruction warning. But the Lord says to Josiah, but because you have turned to me, you will not see these things come to pass. You will be with you, sleeping with your fathers. I will catch you up and bring you home, but you won't be part of it. And so, understanding here that God has to deal with sin. Now, He dealt with it through Christ. We're getting on rocky road here. That doesn't mean that we get to dwindle in our sin today. Okay? if God is holy, so we must be holy, does that mean we mess with sin? Accidents happen. I get that. But if we have a continual sin that we're meddling in and hoping that nobody finds out, that right there, that's what we need to deal with. Those are the things that we have to understand that God will deal with it. Now, what this means is each of us must possess a holy fear that grows out of our awareness of God's awesome power and authority and a deep sense of accountability to Him. So as we continue to grow in our relationship with Jesus, a deeper awareness of how wicked and depraved people we are. And the more we understand that it is by God's grace alone. That is such a... Who's perfect? Oh, come on, right? None of us are. Why not? That's right. We need Christ every single day. If there's a day that you wake up and don't think you need Christ, let me warn you, you're in the wrong place. Get right with the Lord. Get right with the Lord. The Lord describes someone who has this deep, holy fear that grows as they develop the relationship. You can write this down too. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2b, the end of verse 2. This is the Lord speaking through Isaiah. He says, "But this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my words." So somebody who has that awareness, the sober awareness of who God is. And it is through the Spirit that God works within our lives to produce both a desire and the power to do what is good, right, and fulfill His purposes. So God works in us and through us through His Holy Spirit. Now, there's an important note here. There's something we need to understand. God's work is not forced in your life. So just like knocking on the door, if you don't open it, He's not coming in. God's work is not forced in your life. Did you know that even God's grace can be resisted in your life? You can resist the grace of God. This means that at any time, we can reject God's help, we can reject God's guidance in our lives, and we can continue, we can make a decision to continue on in our sinful, destructive ways if we choose. Because God's a gentleman, and we have free will, and we get to make that decision. But if we decide to reject, or not reject, but we receive with open arms God's help and His guidance, His work is always within us. We become, we're dependent on Him to lead us, and it helps us to become more faithful, and it allows a cooperation between us and the Holy Spirit. So to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, if we look at verse 13, if you still got your Bible open, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, "For it is God who works in you," right? We just talked about that, "both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Means that there is a balance and a partnership between God's work and our responsibility in salvation. And that's where we work out our salvation. We desire more of Christ. Now, working out our salvation, it goes much further than resisting sin and temptation. It is further than our awareness of His awesomeness. We are to be in this world without fault. And here's where I get that from. Look at verses 14 and verse 15. Here's your context. It says this, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing." It goes on to say that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. It is how we live that represents to the world that we are children of God. It is how we do things. If you imagine everybody put on your thinking caps, I remember they did this when I was in them. You put it on, you tie it, you close your eyes, and you're ready to imagine, right? What does the night sky look like? When you're not in town, you're out in the country, it's dark, you see the shining brilliance of the stars across the sky, right? So should we shine the light of Jesus every single day in our life. We are in a very dark world. If we're to be honest, listen, Jesus is coming back. And with that means we've got to make sure we are right before the Lord. And it means that we must shine. We have a responsibility to shine as Jesus every single day in how we live, in how we act, and in how we speak. Working out our salvation doesn't mean that we are Christians only on certain days. We're only Christians around certain people. Can I be blunt? If that is what you do, that means that you are simply a religious person in nature and not living as children of God. If that just hurts you, take note. I'm sorry it's blunt, but let's be honest. See, we went camping here in South Dakota earlier this year, and there was a small window of our vacation where the men's bathroom kept getting destroyed. Trash was thrown about, shower chairs were stuffed into the toilet stalls, and just general filth about all over the counters in the sink, and which is completely abnormal for this campground. We've stayed there 6 times now. By the way, we love South Dakota. I pray to God someday we end up out there. Until then, I'll just keep going as often as I can because we absolutely love South Dakota. But it's completely abnormal for this campground because South Dakota does a really good job of keeping bathrooms clean, sanitary, and family-friendly. And it's not because there's a lack of staff cleaning the bathrooms because they drive around multiple times a day checking it. But it was because of some young boys of parents who thought and were thought they were being good, but they were clueless about what was happening. Mom and Dad had no idea. And I'll submit to you this morning that Mom and Dad thought their kids were using the bathroom, and that they were good kids, and that when they went there, they were doing what they were intended to do. As we all would. Can we all agree that if we're going to the bathroom, it's to use the bathroom? The young boys were not living up to what I suspect that Mom and Dad's expectations of them were. I promise that if Dad went along to the bathroom with those boys, guess what? They were good kids, and guess what? They went to the bathroom, and guess what? They left the bathroom without destroying the bathroom. How does that tie in? We cannot only work out our salvation when we are being watched, but every single moment of every single day. If we have the fear of the Lord, which is, again, not a destructive, but a redeeming fear, which brings us closer to God. So the fear of the Lord is designed to bring us closer to the Lord. So if we have that fear of the Lord, it will cause us to turn away from all evil. It will cause us to turn away from our will, which leads us into trouble. But as we have this fear, we turn away from evil, we turn away from sin, it leads us into blessing, it leads us into moral purity, it leads us into eternal life and salvation. It leads us to the point where we become shining lights to the world around us. So when I say how we live, how we act, and how we speak, listen, it includes public. It includes private. It includes known and unknown. This means that our behavior should be consistent regardless of who is watching or where we are. It encompasses our actions in the public eye, like how we conduct ourselves at work, in social settings, and within our communities. I've talked about our sphere of influence before, haven't I? We all have a circle of influence. How do we act within that community? But here's what else it covers. It covers our private moments, the choices we make when no one else is around, and the thoughts that we entertain in the privacy of our hearts and our minds. For some of this is just a cheesy relation that I'm bringing about, and for others, it'll make a lot of sense and you'll grab hold of it. If you wouldn't do it or say it in front of Jesus, then you ought not to do it. Imagine Jesus standing beside you in every situation. His presence should be a reminder that we are called to live with integrity and holiness at all times. We are not part-time children of God. We are blood-bought, purchased, and full-time children of God. That was a good place to say amen. Stacy, if you want to make your way up here. So working out our salvation involves a continuous process of self-examination. We have to look inward. We have to ask what we did before communion today. What did we do? We ask the Lord, is there anything wrong that we have to make right before you today before we take communion? So we have to examine ourselves. We have to work with determination. And it's not a one-time event, but it is a daily commitment to live a life that honors God. A daily commitment to honor His sacrifice, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us. It also requires us to strive to align our private lives with public testimony. So we have to align what we do in public with who we are privately, ensuring that there is no disparity between the two. Whether we are alone or we are with family, whether we are at work or we're amongst friends on a Friday night, our behavior should consistently reflect the values and characters of Christ. Not of a professor who taught you in school, not of your mom and dad, but of Christ. He is the standard. He is the standard. Consider also that God sees all, even our hidden actions and thoughts. So while we think it's private, let me tell you, it's not private. In Proverbs 15:3, it reminds us of this. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. The awareness should inspire that reverent fear and a desire to live righteously, to work out our salvation. And Hebrews 4:13 tells us, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Therefore, working out our salvation means cultivating a lifestyle of integrity, where our faith influences every decision and action, both seen and unseen. It's about being genuine in our walk with Christ. It means allowing His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to guide us, to transform us from the inside out. Who knows, that's how change actually takes place, when the Lord has dealt with your heart. I was a very angry young man, and I would outburst on the first opportunity about anything and everything. It is by God's grace that that's under control. He had to deal inwardly before we could deal outwardly. When we live with this conscious awareness of God's presence, His presence is with us every day. At the point of salvation, we all receive His Spirit, right? So we have Jesus with us every single day. And if we are aware of His presence, we not only grow in our personal relationship with Him, but we also become more authentic witnesses to the world. We all have a part in being those witnesses to the world. Every single one of us. God did not call us and say, well done, you've done all your work, you just sit this out until I come and take you home. Raise your hand this morning if you have loved ones, friends, family, co-workers that don't know Jesus. Every hand raised. Maybe you're the only Christian in that group that doesn't know or that knows Jesus that could potentially speak life into them. Do you suppose that God has put you there for that time and that purpose? Just going to go out on a limb and say yes. He wants you to share the gospel message with all those who will hear it. Engaging our community for Jesus, it requires an authentic witness from each one of us. Every day, every moment, He has called us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, and we must shine like lights in the world for all to see. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? Ultimately, just our effort and our good acts, they will always leave us depending on works to go to heaven. When in reality, it has nothing to do about those works, but instead it is only through faith in Jesus Christ that we get to heaven. Here's the gospel. The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for our sins and rose again, eternally triumphant over His enemies, so that there is now no condemnation for those who believe, but only everlasting joy. The forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life. I say this partly tongue-in-cheek because while it is very simple, it is very hard at the same time. Because the life in Jesus, the relationship with Jesus, here's one thing I will promise you, your life will be infinitely better. I did not say infinitely easier, because arguably it becomes harder. But your life will be infinitely better with Jesus Christ part of your life. And so here's the simple part that I reference. Romans 10:9, it tells us what? That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, what does it say? You will be saved. Then if you read a few verses past that and go to verse 13, it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that's our opportunity today, is that we get to call on the name of the Lord. So today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you can ask for forgiveness. You can ask Jesus to come into your life, to change your life. And today you can start that relationship with Him. So if that's you this morning, if you feel Jesus tugging on your heart and saying, come home, come to me. Maybe you've done this before, but you've walked away and you've chosen a life that isn't becoming of Jesus. Or maybe this is the first time that you've ever said, you know what, I need Jesus in my life. If that is you today, would you please, with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just raise your hand where you're at? Amen. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Can we pray this prayer together this morning? Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I confess that I am a sinner in need of forgiveness. I believe that you are Lord and Savior. Would you come into my life and be that? I believe that you died and rose again. From this moment on, I dedicate my life to you. Help me to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, I just want to tell you that we had one individual raise their hand for the first time for salvation this morning. And here's what I need you to do. For the person who raised your hand, I need you to tell somebody. It's not to be a private thing. It's to be public. We go and tell. So put it on Facebook, put it on Instagram, tell your mom and dad, or call a friend, or call your brother. I don't care what it is. Tell somebody that Jesus is now King of your life. The second thing I need you to do, I need you to come see me. Because I want to get you a Bible. I want to get the resources in your hand to help you move forward in your relationship with the Lord. Here's what I can promise you. Satan today will tell you, you are not worthy. You are not deserving of this free gift of God. You have not worked hard enough for it. But Jesus says, it is enough. I am enough. It is through my blood and my body that you are blood bought and saved. And so don't listen to the lies of Satan today. Amen? So, church, here's how I want to close today. You ready? Let's all stand to our feet. Let's get up and let's get excited here. Come on. Today, we have a chance to spend some time working out our salvation with fear and trembling. We have time. It is up to us to put in the work. The Holy Spirit, if God is not going to force Himself upon us, it is up to us to seek God. It is up to us to seek more of the Holy Spirit. It is up to us to seek the giftings of the Holy Spirit. It is up to us, and it is our desire to have more of Jesus in our lives every single day. Are you awake and with me this morning? Do we desire more of Jesus in our life every single day? It is up to us. So today, we get to vigorously pursue the things of the Lord. Today, we get to practice what it means to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I don't care if you're an old-time saint or you're a brand new Christian in this house today. The Lord has something more for each and every one of us. If we will work out our salvation, if we will approach Him and say, more of you, Lord Jesus. So the question is, are you willing to put in the work? Are you willing to put forth the effort? Are you willing to seek Him this morning? So as the worship team plays, guess what? The altars are open. You get to vigorously pursue the Lord. No condemnation, no judgment. I don't care what you've been through this week. His promises are new. His mercies are new. And if you approach Him, guess what? He comes to you. Open that door to Him this morning. There is not a single person here today that the Lord does not want to speak to. So I leave you with this. Will you work out your salvation with fear and trembling?